Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. We want to read verse 21, find that place, and then go backwards in the Bible to the book of Job and find chapter 18 of the book of Job. We want to read a few verses from there. Our subject this morning is self-counsel. Self-counsel from Isaiah 5:21 and Job 18, verses 7 through 12. Isaiah 5:21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." That's what Isaiah says by the Spirit of God. In Job chapter 18, verses 7 through 12, "The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The gin shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terror shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger-bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side." You know, humans are the ultimate production of God's earthly creation. When you look at humans, you see more or less the epitome of what God has created. And humans have so many attributes that are given only to them as a creature among God's creatures on earth. And one very, very unique attribute that sets humans apart from all other creatures is their unique ability to do what we call complex reasoning. And while a dog has a certain amount of reasoning capability, he can look and run around his pen and look at the fence that encloses him, and he can kind of reason out by testing that he can dig his way under it and get out and go free. Or in the case of some dogs, they can figure out that if they can climb that fence, they can climb over and get out and run free. And in the same way, you watch out there in the natural world, and a beaver can figure out that if he puts muds and stick together a certain way where a creek is running, he can stop that creek up and make himself a reservoir back behind it. And you know, chimpanzees have been shown to be real smart. And you can take a chimpanzee and train it just right. And a lot of researchers do this and teach him to go through a series or a set of activities to finally get some kind of reward or to get to some place that he wants to be. And chimpanzees are said to be able to communicate with humans in a manner of speaking. They can more or less pass along information to humans by signs that they give, and they can understand human language to an extent. And you find dogs being able to do that also. They know what heel means if they've been trained to understand it and that kind of thing. But all of these things that the lower creatures show as intelligence and ability to reason are really primitive compared to the reasoning capacity of mankind. Only humans can reason out that if they set up a sequence of molecular reactions and put them all together with the right kind of detonation device and the right kind of explosive material, they can create an atomic bomb and blow a city to smithereens. Only humans can reason out how to build this capsule or this tubular-shaped object that's driven by a motor that's propelled by a certain kind of fuel and can shoot it into space and land on the moon. Only humans can reason out that they can get out in a certain kind of suit and walk around up there in space without any atmosphere at all around them. And so these kinds of accomplishments and others, too multitudinous to even mention, that humankind has done, shows the reasoning power and the power that their minds have to come to the right answers to the mysteries of the universe. So man has these capabilities. But for all this mind power, all this ability to think straight that human beings have, It seems amazing that when it comes to spiritual matters, that humankind cannot think beyond basic kindergarten. Isn't that an amazing anomaly? That humans that can build ships to go to the stars, that can create an atomic bomb, that can fly through the air in large planes, that can do all these amazing things, cannot think beyond kindergarten stage regarding spiritual things. Now, we realize that humans can reason out about what God is, and they can do a elementary kind of reasoning about what spiritual things are. We see it every day. We see this reasoning power in its infantile stage every day in the obvious fact that the world is littered with all kinds of idols that men call gods. And the world is littered with every imaginable religious doctrine that you can come up with that the human mind can conceive. But you know what the thing about all this is? It is kindergarten infantile, because all of these theories and all of these false gods and all of these doctrines adopted by the various religions are all a mess. They're all in error. And yet men are always contemplating spiritual things, but never going beyond the first day in kindergarten. Now, I've mentioned in a lot of sermons why this is so, and all of you that are members here are well schooled in the fact that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, and he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. I'm not going to preach on that today, but I wanted to draw you a word picture of how backward humankind is in regard to spiritual things, because it is the answer, although I'm going to detail the answer, it's the answer to why that human beings involved in self-counsel, and by self-counsel I mean taking only the advice of the human nature, human beings in self-counsel always blunder off the deep end when left to just those devices. So we want to look at that thought, and we notice that in our text from the book of Job, that this description given of this man who's in error is a description that fits so well with the downward spiral that human beings who rely on their own best advice spiral toward. Men who depend upon themselves and the human ingenuity and the human wisdom and the human intellect and the human reasoning to come to determinations about decisions in their lives are on a downward spiral, just like this man in Job. And so it's such a good outline for men that human beings on this road that we're talking about, that I want to use it and think about how important it is that individuals understand that human wisdom and decisions derived from it, and counsel gathered from it, advice gathered from it, will always end somebody up in a wrong place. It always will. It always has. Now, we look first at Job's... this thing out of Job was Bildad's statement as he tried to accuse Job of being a wicked man, which wasn't true. But in it, there's a bit of wisdom about men that are lost and men that are in error. And in this outline that we took as our text, we noticed some things that are really, I believe, important about those who wander around doing things as a result of counseling with just themselves or just with human advice alone. The first thing that we notice as we look at back at Job 18, at verse 7, we find that humans who follow their own personal human counsel cause their own difficulties and failures. Now, we're the greatest probably culture on the face of the earth today about playing the blame game. I don't know if there's ever been a society on earth that has adapted more to blaming somebody else for their woes and their ills than human beings in America. There's always somebody to blame. And you know, the psychologists and the politicians in our society have taught us how to do that. Is something wrong in your life? Blame somebody else. Somebody else has got to be at fault. Can't possibly be you. But we find in Job that the Bible teaches a truth that's so often overlooked by human beings thinking in a human vein. And that is that those who follow their own personal human counsel cause their own difficulties or their own failures. He says it in a real terse way in verse 7. Let's reread it. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. That's the way it is with people who listen to themselves and don't have an outside source of counsel that contains true wisdom, true prudence, true understanding, and true knowledge. People consulting with themselves about how to do things will invariably cause their own casting down or their own failures by what they do and how they do it. Brothers and sisters, it can be summed up this way. You can't depend on the arm of the flesh. And that is just another aspect of the arm of the flesh. This thing of depending on your own counsel, of thinking, well, I think I know what's best for me. I think I know how to do this the best. I think I know what I need to do. And ignoring all warning bells clanging in the background is a sure way to be cast down first and last. Now, we notice also, kind of connected with that idea, is that self-counsel in any business of our lives, whether it's spiritual business or secular business, self-counsel alone concerning the business of our lives produces its own traps and its own outcomes. That's what Job is saying, or Bildad is saying, in verses 8 and 9 of our text. Read it with me. He says, "For he is cast into a net by his own feet." And, if that weren't enough, he walketh upon a snare. And then in verse 9, the gin shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. I think a lot of people in this world today have experienced failure in things they hope to succeed in simply because they have taken their own counsel and not sought counsel elsewhere. And the reason I'm evading answering where that elsewhere is, that's going to be my last point. I'm going to show you that the counsel that you need to survive and succeed in a world full of trickery, full of deceit, and full of evil, the counsel that you need is the counsel of the Lord. And I'll show you that as my last point. But keep in mind that I'm contrasting here. Men who seek to have counsel or advice from themselves and from the human part of the environment. And when they do that, what happens is they lay their own traps. And the outcomes that come out of those failures that are the outcomes from that, are a result of their own way of doing things. If you failed in an endeavor in your life that you thought was the very scheme that should have been successful, and you're a child of God, I can tell you why it failed. It had a worldly beginning, and it had a worldly end. You can take any project, any endeavor in this world, and if you can consecrate that endeavor, that project, that piece of work to the Lord and find a way that the Lord tells you to do it, it will not fail. But he who takes his own counsel, follows the counsel of men, produces his own traps and his own outcomes because the counsel is flawed. When I think about this aspect of human beings, and this is an aspect that takes both saved and lost alike. Lost men will invariably choose counsel from some source other than God. And lost people are awful guilty about seeking counsel within themselves without consulting with God and seeking God's advice. And when they do, they'll fail just as surely as the lost man. But when I think about this, I think about an old song that Merle Haggard sung years ago. Do y'all remember the song, Mama Tried? Let me read you some of the phrases out of Mama Tried. Listen to this. This is the perfect outline of the human being who counsels with himself, considers his advice above that of any spiritual advice, and listens to the human side of things rather than himself. One and only rebel child from a family meek and mild. My mama must have known what lay in store, said old Merle, despite all my Sunday learning. Right the bad I kept on turning till my mama couldn't hold me anymore. And I turned 21 in prison doing life without parole. No one could steer me right. But mama tried. What is that man saying? No one could steer me right. Why could no one steer him right? First of all, because all of the counsel or advice that he sought came from a source much like his own brain. It came from human sources. In other words, he listened to human advisors or didn't listen to any advisors, and listened to the advice coming out of his own crooked brain. And the result was disastrous. I turned 21 in prison doing life without parole. I want to tell you something. I've talked to prisoners here and there, and I've heard that same testimony from them. I have gotten myself here because I wouldn't listen and I wouldn't do right. And you know what? I love it when a person who's gotten himself in trouble and in prison says those things. But there's a difference between saying them and acting out the lesson learned. And a lot of people never do that because they go right back to listening to human counsel or the advice coming from their own brain after they've gotten themselves clear of such situations like that. And that's the problem with self-counsel. It produces its own traps. It produces its own negative outcomes. Now, we find that the complications that await those who rely on self-counsel happen because of where those counsels originate. And I've already highlighted that, so I'm going to speak on it just a second and move on. It's where the counsel originated that caused the problem in the first place. Because those who take counsel only of themselves are taking counsel born of a human brain, of human reasoning, of the perverted human wisdom that is in every one of us. You know, human wisdom without godly consecration and godly sanctification is, after all, just human wisdom. And God declares that wisdom isn't worth a plug nickel, so to speak, without the sanctification power of God. And so our best wisdom is foolishness with God without sanctification. Now, wisdom in a man is a good thing if it's consecrated to the Lord and God sanctifies that wisdom because he dedicates his wisdom to serving the Lord. Whole different story. But when men seek out human wisdom to accomplish things, they'll lay a snare for themselves, and the reason they will is because that wisdom comes from the wrong source. Job says it, or Bildad says it like this in the book of Job, looking at verse 10. The snare is laid for him in the ground. Now, I don't know if all of you get the symbolic picture that he laid right there. But let's see. Let's take a look at the earth for just a minute and see a snare laid in the ground. The trapper is using the earth to put the snare in a place that he can catch the prey that he's aiming, that he's targeting. And I see ground here as being a carnal place, an earthy place, an earthly place. And with that in mind, with that symbolism, think about what might be being said here. The source of the snare is in the ground. The snare for people who rely on their own wisdom, on human advice. The snare for them lies in the very fact that it's earthy advice. It's by advice born of the earth, from the ground. Now, the thing about that snare that's set by us when we rely on earthly wisdom, on human advice, the thing about that snare is that it really does act a whole lot like snares set by trappers. You know, when we set snares to snare animals, we don't go out there and throw a big fluorescent orange circle of wire or something on the ground. We'll take a snare, and if we're going to make a ground snare like this the Bible refers to here, we'll set that thing down underneath a layer of leaves, and it'll be scentless. We'll make sure and boil it, descent it before we set it out. And we'll set it down there in such a way that we target that animal in the path that he's using. We'll set it out in such a way that he won't immediately notice that it's there. We'll use everything around us to make sure it's camouflaged properly. And we'll make sure that it's set, custom set, for the animal that we're targeting. That's exactly the way the snares are set for men, women, boys and girls who depend on earthly wisdom, earthly advice to get done the affairs of their life. It's custom made to snare them because it's made and settled, established in earthly things. Now, we find next that sooner or later, self-counsel's failures bring forth the fears and the responses of a cold reality. Self-counsel always ends at a dead-end wall. It really does. Now, the sad thing is, and this is a sad thing, but I want to bring it home to all of us here this morning. Sad thing is, a lot of the dead-end walls that human beings discover are too late. Because that dead-end wall never is run up against by some people until they fall off into eternity. And so, let us be warned that we ought to recognize what kind of counsel we're listening to, what kind of counsel we're taking, what kind of advice we're depending on before we get to eternity. Because the wall's hit in eternity, too late to turn around and change a path. But sooner or later, self-counsel's failures do bring forth the fears and the responses that cold, hard reality are bound to bring. Look at how he says it in Job 18, verse 11. He says, "Terror shall make him afraid on every side and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger-bitten and destruction shall be ready at his side." Here we find a picture of someone who has gotten to the place in defeat, in destruction, in failure, where that all of a sudden they realize that everything they've been depending on in the way of carnal advice, this counsel from the human mind, has turned out to be a farce, turned out to be a failure, turned out to have led to a dead-end place, which it all leads to. And at that point in time, the fears will take hold. We don't know what that time is. Maybe it's on the deathbed. Maybe it's after a huge, awesome failure in one's life affairs. Maybe it's at death itself and suddenly facing eternity or the great white throne. We don't know what that time is. But sooner or later, self-counsel's failures bring the cold, hard reality into a person's life. And when it does, men realize that they've been in error, that things haven't turned out the way they imagined, that their self-taught wisdom should have taken them. You know, this is a very bleak picture. And every time I think about this bleak picture, I'm reminded of Proverbs 14:12, in which the Lord said, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are by the ways of death." The end thereof are the ways of death. You know, we can think we're right all day long. And we can imagine ourselves to be right all we want to. But let us all be warned that if we're depending on human advice, we're in the wrong place. Regardless of how sound the advice may be or seem to be, regardless of how right the pathway it defines may seem to be, if we're depending on human advice, we're in the wrong place, and the ends thereof are by the ways of death. You know, God's made a statement about humans that follow their own counsel and the advice of men and depend on it despite its flaws. I want to read this to you before we go just briefly to our last point. Proverbs 1:25-28, the Bible says this, "But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." He's talking about the same fear that Bildad talked about in Job. The fear is going to come for every human being who relies on the so-called wisdom of the human mind and taking advice from the human condition. That fear will come sooner or later. And when it comes, if we're found in the place that Proverbs is talking about and have not taken the reproof of God, set it not all of God's counsel, God says, "I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." I believe there comes a time in men ignoring the warnings of God when God shuts the door of help to that person and leaves them to themselves. There is a place that God leaves them to their own manner and means, leaves them to their own ends, leaves them to the fate that they have woven for themselves as a result of listening to human advice, human-made wisdom. And I believe that when that time comes, God will abandon helping people and leave them to their own judgment. I believe that's what God does. I believe He's telling us that in Proverbs 1:25-28. So what is the solution for this pattern of self-counsel and defeat? What is the solution to overcoming the propensity in man that we're all inclined to? What's the pattern? What's the solution for overcoming this failed pattern? Revelation 3:18 has the answer in a real good brief statement by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in addressing a church. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." What's Christ's counsel here? Concerning what you're looking for to be rich by or be improved by, advanced by, increased by, whether it be spiritual or material, concerning that stuff, Christ counsels us to buy gold tried in the fire. Now, because of time, let me just be brief and say this. There is no gold tried in the fire but one, and that's the spiritual gold that resides in the Lord Jesus Christ. If everything that you have is committed to Christ, if your investment is in Christ, then gold will come out of that investment, and it'll be gold tried in the fire. Be it personal advancement, or be it spiritual wealth, it'll be gotten for you because you've invested in Christ. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed." You know, when a human being is without the influence and the counsel of Christ in his life, it's like standing naked in a hailstorm. It really is. And he can expect nothing but a big beating out of life. When he stands naked in a hailstorm, he's going to be beat black and blue. And so it is with any human being in the world without the influence and the counsel, the guidance and the advice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to end up black and blue. And maybe worse than that in the end. So Christ counsels to buy gold tried in the fire and white raiment that we may be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. There's nothing worse than a human being that is blind because he wills not to see. When we close our eyes to the very truth of God and we say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know about Christ. I don't want to know about salvation. I don't want to know about walking in the light. I don't want to know about any of that. There's no one more blind than such a pitiful person. And that's exactly what Christ is alluding to here when He says, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Appealing to the human being to just put the visine in the eyes and let things clear up a bit. Now, visine of this type comes from God. And we've got to ask for it. There's no earthly salve. I'll call it visine in modern day lingo. There's no modern day eye wash or eye healer that will do the job. The only thing that will do is the eye opening power of the Spirit of God. And oh, how men who are in a blind state because of rejection of the truth need that eye salve of God. Jesus is the answer. Christ is the way. Christ is the counselor. Now, I want to read you something that sums up this condition of men who look to their own advice versus the real advice that comes from the Lord. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Don't you find that to be true? I mean, you can think of 1,000 ways to do 100,000 things. We have adages to fit that very concept. There's more than one way to skin a cat. Lots of adages like that. So there's many devices in a man's heart. But listen, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. It's always the Lord's advice that will withstand each and every and any trial, any kind of test, any kind of challenge that human beings can have. The counsel of the Lord will stand in all of those gales. Now, Paul's own testimony, contrasted with Jesus Christ's intent for Paul in the New Testament, speaks about this very thing. I want to read you in closing two verses that show you the contrast between what a man thinks when he takes his own advice and what Christ has in the way of advice and in the way of His counsel standing. In Acts 26:9, Paul said this, I verily thought with myself, isn't that the way it is? Every time people start taking advice from the human side, they think within themselves. That's the problem we get into. That self-thinking is what overturns the apple cart every time. And Paul said, I thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he thought, wasn't it? I thought I'd do a whole lot of stuff contrary to Jesus. But listen to what Jesus says to Ananias when he's bringing Paul out of that darkness into light. Listen to what Jesus says to Ananias concerning His intent, His counsel for Paul in Acts 9:15. But the Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way. He's telling Ananias to go and tell Paul what he needs to do. For he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Well, there's two different contrasts, isn't it? A real contrast and two different opinions. On the one hand, Paul says, I thought I was going to do a lot of things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, Christ says, Ananias, he chosen vessel unto me. Because I'm going to have him carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and even the people of Israel. Two different counsels. Two different bits of advice here. Human advice thinks one thing almost always in total contradiction to God. Spiritual advice from the Spirit of God, advice from Jesus, thinks another thing that runs in a spiritual vein. That's the difference. Men who self-counsel lay their own snares for themselves. And invariably, having set the snares, they're not at all aware that they've set those snares, and they blunder right off down through the path that they've made for themselves and step into the very snares that they set for themselves. And ultimately fail, and ultimately sadness and fear and defeat is the final product of self-counsel. But the counsel of God, the counsel of the Lord, is good for all ages and good for eternity. And it will win. It will survive everything that assails it. Every challenge made to it.